coolest. No, you're the coolest. No, you're the coolest. Okay, I'm the coolest. Yeah, I agree.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you're watching this. I am Pastor Floyd Hughes from Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills, and with me, as always, is
Pastor Mark Berkshire with Meadow Run Community Church in Ohio Pow.
We are going to skip the what are we preaching on, because we're both, Mark and I, preaching on, you know, aspects of Christmas and the birth of Christ, but we're going to jump right into our topic for today, because we have with us Bree, who was last with us, I want to say it's like last year, right? I think April or May of last year. And she was talking about, you know, how God helped her overcome a lot of things, and how she went from kind of being, this may not be the right term, but anti-Christian, anti-church, to where she is now. So Bree, before we jump into our topic, do you want to give everyone a brief update of where you've been? Because you've come to, you went to Mark's church and shared your story. You've come to my church, shared your story, but it's great to have you back on here so you can give everyone an update.
Update on me. I have been trying to get more people to come back to churches. I have been trying to get people to just come back to God. And I prefer to do that with the addicts and the people who are typically, what's the word? The outcasts, the ones who everybody has lost hope on. I have done this on TikTok comments, in my DMs, just messaging and talking to people, just trying to give some hope out there. Found an awesome church, took a little while. So I've been doing that, and yeah, that's been my thing. I left my job and have been just volunteering my time more and dealing with the outcasts of the community.
So I was just going to say, speaking of, you know, you say sharing on comments and on TikTok, because I've taken your comments that you've made and shared a couple of videos, and I have one, I just saw it this morning, in my queue, a comment that you made that, okay, let me go share this more about your story and what you've gone through, because it's helped a lot of people. Some comment, but I get a lot of messages from people talking about, wow, because you shared what you shared, they were able to be more vulnerable with what they were going through and go find people who were willing to do the same thing with them and take the time and respond to them. But speaking about lost hope, and I'm going to really turn this over to Mark to kind of set the pace for this. And Mark just went, what? But we're talking about, I mean, this is the Christmas season where everyone's talking about, you know, peace and hope and joy and love, but there are a lot of people that aren't experiencing that this season. And even if you take away the people that are going through, you know, hardship because of financial difficulties, because of loss of job, because of just looking at all the people still, North Carolina, Florida, other areas, just trying to rebuild their lives because they lost homes, businesses, families, friends because of hurricanes and natural disasters. There are the people who just are struggling because they lost loved ones. And this, instead of being a time of peace and joy and hope and love, it's a time of hardship. And they struggle to find the peace. They struggle to find any joy. They see no reason for hope. And historically, a lot of suicides occur during the Christmas season. So before we get into anything else, and before I ask Mark, like, you know, what's one of the ways people can respond to family members or friends who are dealing with this? Because there are a lot of people. Check on your family members or friends who have lost loved ones. I just messaged a woman who used to go to our church because they just lost, she just lost her father right before Thanksgiving. And, you know, he was a big part of their life. It wasn't like, yeah, dad. It was like, yeah, she's fully grown adult, but still very family oriented. Very painful for her, very painful for her mother. So I just reached back out to them and said, hey, how are you guys doing with this? I know this is hard. I know this is difficult. So other than reaching out to people, Mark, what are, and maybe you guys will each share, and the reason Bria is on here, because she can also identify with this, some of the ways that you deal with this, because this is hard for both of you guys, right?
Yeah, it is a hard season for me. I have years behind me that events happen that this season just reminds me of. My mother's loss, my father's loss, all happened around this season. And it is hard sometimes, especially for me as a pastor. I have to put on a happy face and talk about peace and joy and love and hope when sometimes I'm feeling like I don't have hope, I don't have peace, I don't have joy, I don't have love in my heart. And how do we get over that? And the only way we can is to do it through Jesus Christ. There are times that I get really low when things like this, you know, when I start thinking about Christmases past. I think about the many Christmases I spent, probably 4 or 5 Christmases totally alone in a little one-room cabin because I didn't have anyone to go to, didn't have any. I was away from my family, lived 3.5 hours away down near where Bree lives, and I didn't have anybody. I was by myself. And some of the loneliest times can be around Christmas. But I've also found that I have been with many, many people around Christmas and still felt as if I was alone. And it was the loneliest time. And they are difficult times. I think one thing we have to recognize as individuals and as believers is that we are going to go through these times and allow ourselves to go through them, but allow ourselves to also grow closer to God in these times. Because this is the time where, yes, you may feel alone, and it's okay to feel alone, if you know, but don't stay alone. Realize that God is there with you, and that you do not have to go through, and you do not go through anything in life that God isn't there with you to go through it.
So, Bree, a quick question. For you, also a difficult time, and you do not have to, but you can share if you want to, the added thing that you're currently dealing with, but previously, what was your source of, like, hardship and difficulty? Was it grief? Was it loneliness?
So, like Mark, I've had a lot of bad things happen around this time of year. In 2018, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma around this time of year. In 2017, my kids were actually parental kidnapped for 3 months due to my ex-husband and his craziness. But not only that, November 22nd is my adoption birthday. And my dad, who is, I don't think that the only person that's above my dad is God. Like, my dad is on that high of a pedestal of who he was as just a human. And he was diagnosed in September 2006. And he passed May 2007. But on his birthday, which is November 22nd, every year he would send me and my brother little messages or a card. His text message wasn't really a thing back then, but he would send emails, he would send cards that said, like, happy adoption birthday. He made it more about us than him. So in 2007, that first November 22nd really just sucked because there was no card, there was no message. Not only that stuff going on, but last week I learned that my mother-in-law, who she is the highest woman that I have on a pedestal, that cancer treatments aren't working and that it's taken a turn for the worst. She's sleeping about 23 hours a day, not really eating. It's that end of time.
So, and we talked about this a little bit before. So what are some ways that you and Chris are finding to help deal with this? Because this is hard. This is not, hey, the memory of, which is already hard, of loss and whatever. But now it's the Christmas season. Every commercial, every TV show is about family and this and that and the other. And you're in the midst of, you know,
losing my family.
Losing your family. So what are some ways that you and Chris are dealing with this?
I mean, a lot of it is the typical normal thing of, I mean, even right now, like, what, tears in my eyes. You know, you just do a lot of crying. But the hope that we're finding is through prayer. And, you know, I was telling you all this beforehand. Chris has never been, the milkman has never been a big prayer person. But I've caught him doing that and, you know, kind of giving it to God, us giving it to God. His mom has, over the years, given me thousands of recipes. So, and as you know, we're huge food people. So, like, we've been cooking her recipes and just doing that and finding peace in that soon there's not going to be a lot of pain. Our prayers are no longer, you know, keep her around for 10, 20 years. It's just let her go with peace. Don't do the suffering that so many people do. And that's a hard thing in itself because as humans, we are naturally selfish. It just is what it is. But a lot of it has been trusting in God and just giving it to him. And it's like when I told y'all all this was going on and asked y'all for prayers, I don't know what else to do besides give it to God. God's a powerful thing, and I really don't think enough people give him enough credit. I also don't think enough people truly let him take over. But I will say that, you know, there's a lot of things you don't say to people like me that I've heard recently. You know, just like, I understand it's done from a peaceful place, but some people are just really insensitive around the holidays. And so I would say, you know, we've been giving it to God and we've been ignoring a lot of people.
And that's a good point. I think a lot of people, some are just jerks, but some people are just unintentionally hurtful during the holidays, not realizing what other people are going through. But let me ask you this, Mark, because amidst all that, and, you know, hope, peace, love, and joy, amidst all of this pain, how, or is there a way for people to experience the love of Christ during all of this? Because it's hard to experience love when your heart is hurting. You know what I mean? When you're genuinely in grieving pain. What are some things that people can do, especially, and I'm going to come back to Bree with this one, so give you a moment to think about this, Bree, especially if you're not a people person. If you're like, I'm not a fan of people, because sometimes people can be jerks or insensitive or whatever, but how can you do that? So, Mark.
And I think it goes to something that Bree was saying. We are all selfish people. That's by nature, that's who we are. I think that one of the biggest things we can do is think of others first. You know, we think of God first, but think of what he commanded us to do. Love each other and care for each other. So think about someone who is going through something that maybe you can just take them a cup of coffee, or you can just send them a note, or put a post on their Facebook, hey, I'm thinking about you. When someone else is going through something, even if they're not going through something, if you just think of someone and you think, hey, I'm going to just jot them a note right now and send it to them. Whatever it is, but think of others before sitting letting your pain marinate in your soul. Send it out. You know, I'm got friends down in Arkansas that I went to seminary with and things that their 5-year-old granddaughter was diagnosed with leukemia just a few months back, and she's going through treatments, and it's not been a good time for the entire family. And I think about that. And Jenna, during one of her treatments here recently, was so sick and so bad. And Jennifer, her mom, was just had tears in her eyes. And Jenna looked up at her and says, Mama, God's got this. And out of a 5-year-old. If a 5-year-old could be going through all of that scary stuff and still say, God's got this, how come we can't look at others and say, God's got this and I got you? You know, so I think the main thing is look at others. I mean, this is a season that we are to look at others, and we are to spread joy and happiness to others around us, even if we're not in that place ourselves. The more we show it, the more it will get into us. If we are grumpy all the time and just don't see things, you know, the way we should, and we just let that marinate in our souls, we're going to lose all of the blessings that God has for us, because we will find that once we start looking at others and helping others and doing for others, we will start to feel that joy. That joy will be rekindled in us. And the more we do, and I'm not saying that, you know, is by works or anything like that, but the more we do, that's how God blesses us. Because we will see that we are doing what he has called us to do, if that makes any sense at all.
It absolutely makes sense to me. I mean, I fully agree.
So let me ask you this, Bree. So for the people that are not people person, like, okay, you know, because there are some people, not people person, they're introverts, or they're just like, now is not a good time for me to be around people, because of my pain, because of my hurt. And, you know, normally if someone said something stupid or inappropriate, I could ignore it. But right now I just might snap back way too hard. Or, yeah. So, you know, what are some aspects or things that people can do if they're like, I just can't be around people right now?
And let me just say, Bree sent me a message not too awful long ago.
I was about to say, he used the exact same words. So, and it's funny that you said, like, pop off, because the other day.
That's what made me think about it.
The other day, I sent Mark a message, and I said, what do I do? Because I really feel like if I reply to this, I'm going to pop off. and honestly, I took some time, a day or two, and got off social media. And I prefer nature. I am such a nature person. So for me, when I feel like I'm going to pop off on people, I walk outside. And I have my moments with the trees and the water, which I was always, and this goes back to me first meeting Mark, I was always told that that was a bad thing, that that was like, it, you know, if you went out and you prayed to God in the trees, that you were actually like, Satan was able to get into your life because you don't do that. Like, I didn't idolize the tree. It's just that's, I could hug a tree and I could honestly, like, just, it gave me a figure almost of, you know, like, that I could feel, that I could have that physical touch with. And know that God created this beautiful thing. And like, so it was all about God to me. But it was like me having my own little hug with God, if that makes sense at all in a weird way. Like, and I asked Mark in the very beginning, I was like, so is this bad? And he's like, no, he's like, you know, you're not idolizing, you're not worshiping, you're not, he's like, a lot of people find God in nature. Like they just, that's where they can be alone. It can be quiet. I will never forget you telling me about the cornfield. You know, like, and so for me, because I am very much a, I have to be in a certain mood to be around people. If I'm not, then I'm, listen, there's a reason I live in the woods. There's a reason that I don't have neighbors, that, you know, that I talk to the squirrels and I and the groundhogs and all the animals around me, and live my pretty much woodland Disney princess life out here. But honestly, I take my time and I go out and then, and I do have conversations with God. And that leads me to the point of being able to do things for others, such as this past Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving's already a hard time, like I said, November 22nd. So we're talking like within a couple days of all that. And I was feeling really, really alone, and I had some conversations with God, and I knew that I wanted to invite a stranger over for Christmas. So I found one lady. Well, I originally found a guy, but he got scared and backed out.
Wait, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Hold it, because we got to talk about this, because there was a whole slew
of
people. They were like, "Great, what are you doing inviting some strange guy to your house?" And I don't know if she listens to this podcast, but Melissa low-key threatened a guy. It's like, "Hey, I'm so glad you're doing this, but just so you know, we will find you if something happens to her." But
right after that, he got scared.
Okay, I just had to throw that out there because a lot
everybody
of
people was worried about me, and at the end of the day, he's the one that got scared and ran off. But I found a beautiful elderly lady in her 70s who had no family. She's never had kids. She's originally from Kansas. Didn't know anyone, and the old woman showed up. And honestly, I know this, it goes back to the selfishness, like the joy of being able to make her smile is what I needed for me. So it was all done very selfishly because I needed to bring joy to others to make myself feel better about the season and what was going on. And it was the most amazing time, and she had the greatest stories, and she's coming for Christmas. So it's just, you know, with, I have one kid who's off at college and I have another kid who's in New Mexico. So, you know, even dealing with that and not have, I mean, you know, Floyd, you have kids that are away also that you can't physically see all the time. And just being able to see somebody else smile and to share a moment with them, I do it for selfish reasons, and it's just so that I can have the joy of watching myself make others happy but it brings other people happy and it brings them joy and it gives them a comforting place. And I realized all that this past Thanksgiving. Like, I did it because my kids were off doing their own thing, and yet it was the most beautiful Thanksgiving I've ever had.
And I wouldn't say that it was selfish. I really wouldn't, because you did exactly what God instructs all of us to do, to take care of those that we don't know. Grandpa Jones from Hee Haw had a thing that he did at Christmas all the time. It was a little story that he would tell about a man who prayed to God, "God, I want to see you today. Please show yourself to me that I'm not alone." And there was a knock at the door, and this person came knocking at the door and asked if he had any extra shoes or coat that he could have to wear. And the guy got up and was so excited because he thought it was Jesus at the door, but it was this homeless guy. And he gave him his shoes and coat and called him in for a cup of coffee. And then a few hours went by, the door knocked again. He thought, this is Jesus. And he went to the door, and it was a lady who was had her two kids there with her. And they were poor and they couldn't do anything. And he brought them in and gave them a meal and sent them on their way. And the third thing happened, and the door knocked, and another person came in with a need, and he was taken care of. And the whole day went by. And at the end of the night, the old man prayed, "Lord, I just wanted you to show up. And that's all I wanted for Christmas this year, was for you to show up." And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, "I did. I was the one at the door that you gave food to. I was the one at the door that you gave a coat to. I was the one at the door that you did this for." And it brings a whole new meaning to what Christmas is and what holidays is. So, I mean, when I first saw that is exactly what I thought of when I saw your post about bringing a stranger for the holidays. And I almost made a smart aleck remark, like, "Only you, Bree." But but then I got thinking about it, and I thought, man, what a show and a testimony of what God is doing in your life for just doing that.
Oh, I've come a long way with God, a long way. And you know, while it may be, you know, in biblically correct that these are the things I'm supposed to do, I gotta say, it's the joy that it brings me and gets me out of my head for at least a moment, you know, because we're also coming up on January, and that's when my nephew committed suicide. It goes back to, this is the thing for the holidays, and you know, like all these little things. And I just don't want anyone, even though I was in that place, okay, and that's what I've spoken on before, about my testimony, I don't want anybody else to be in the same place I was when y'all met me, of picking out a tree. Like, I don't want that to be anyone's story, or, you know, picking out a bridge or whatever it is their vice is going to be. I've gotten to the point where I know that God saved me. I've said it to y'all from the beginning that I truly believe that God specifically placed you two in my life. And I want to be the Floyd and Mark for somebody else.
I will say this, that Floyd and Mark probably wouldn't invite strangers to their home. But I will say this, this is what I love about how God works, because he uses everyone in different ways. And while I probably wouldn't invite people to my home, I would take the time to sit down and respond to someone online and say, you know, how can we help? What can we do? How can we be there for you? And be genuine about it, because we all know we see a lot of people posting stuff online and they're just doing it to get people to follow them. They don't care about people. They're not interested in helping people. And you never know what God is going to do, but I do think God will use other people. And in the same way, that's something that gives you joy, something that just brings me joy to no end, is to be able to help people and answer their questions and be there for them. And even though the only really thing that I did for you was point you to Mark and say, hey, Mark, here's you know, someone who I pointed your way. They may or may not reach out to you, and I'm so grateful that you did. But I think it's the way that God uses every single person differently to bring joy to others, because that brings me joy. I get asked by people all the time. My mother, grandmother-in-law, because one Christmas, everyone's sitting around opening packages, and I'm responding to people's questions. And she's like, why do you waste your time? And I was like, because it makes me happy. And if it helps them, I mean, it just brings me joy. But which is what I kind of wanted to end this conversation on, is finding what brings you joy. And it doesn't have to be the thing that brings me joy, the thing that brings Mark joy, the thing that brings Bree joy. It just needs to be the thing that brings you joy. And I'm going to use one of Mark's comments, is that joy and happiness, not the same thing. Happiness, situational. Our joy comes from Jesus Christ and Him using us to help others is one of the ways that we get joy. So I'm going to ask you each to share one other thing that you can think of that people can do to just bring joy to other people. And it doesn't have to be, and Marcus said this, you know, however many years we've been doing this podcast, doesn't have to be a big budget thing. Doesn't have to be, you know, let me go on Amazon and buy them something thing. And like you just said, it could be, you know, let me invite someone out for coffee, my treat, or let me give them a gift card for a $5, you know, a cup of coffee, because a lot of people cannot afford coffee these days because coffee has gone up and they've been without a job for weeks or months. So just real quick ideas to help bring joy to other people.
Smile.
Yeah. Oh, smile. There you go. I won't say I'm not a good smiler. I am not a good smiler.
No, but see, but A, you are, but B, the other one is, doesn't just a genuine smile. If you see if you see a little kid acting cute in the grocery store, smile, you know, like just bring hope. I mean, I've driven speaking of coffee, I've been at the drive-thru getting coffee and just asked the cashier, hey, how much is the person behind me? You know what I'm saying? And paid for it. It was about 3 months ago. I was in the gas station and there was this elderly man who was in behind me, and he had like six coffees in his hand and one of those like little tray and then like another little tray. And I just told the clerk, I said, can I pay for his coffees? And she looked over my shoulder and typed it in the computer. And I just ran out, got my gas, and I will never forget him coming out. And he just looked at me and said, thank you. And I just waved. I mean, very simple, just little acts of kindness. I even have a shirt that says to the person behind me, know that you are loved and the world is a better place with you in it. And I got complimented at the gas station the other day. I needed to see that. You know, that's what they said. They were like, I needed to see your shirt today. And I was like, well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you're here. And I just kept moving. You know, we didn't have a long, extravagant conversation. But it's those little things. It's just be kind. Hold a door open. Because you never know who you're holding that door open for.
I agree. I mean, Bree said it the best. And sometimes it's not even doing anything but just being there for someone. You know, if you know someone in your life, in your family, in your circle that just needs someone to sit with them. Not say a word, not do anything, just come and sit with them. Go and do it. You know, we have opportunities every day to be a light and be Jesus to somebody every day. I'm going to challenge my church at the beginning of the year to do something, and that is to take 30 days and every morning during those 30 days, just one simple prayer. God surprised me today. And let God surprise you who he brings into your life, what opportunities he's given you to be of service to someone or to smile to someone or to help someone throughout that day. And we may miss it, but God won't. You know, we may be somebody's smile and they think they're just going through that all by themselves, and we just happen to smile at them at the right time. And we may never know that that made a difference in their life, but God does. So like you said, Bree, be kind. Be kind to one another. Be kind to yourself. Don't allow Satan to dig into you and say, you're not worth it. You're sitting here alone because you just don't have any friends because you're no good. That's not true. That is a message straight out of the pit of hell that you don't have value. God values each and every one of us, and we all have value in his eyes.
So first, let me say, you both are pushing this smile thing, so I'm going to work on my smile. Try to smile more. I have a default like non-smile facial expression, but I will try to smile more. But to Mark's point, I think, and to what Bree said, with the shirt that she was wearing, there are people who may be listening now or may be listening later who think that their life doesn't matter and think that because of this season and because of the funk they're in or the depression they're dealing with or the grief or the situation, that this is it for them, and it's not. Because the whole reason we celebrate Christmas is because God decided that he wanted to bring joy to us. So he sent his son to be born so that his son could take on the sins of humanity. It is a time of celebration, but Jesus was sent to people who probably thought that they were not worth celebrating. People who thought that, you know, we are so far removed from God. People who thought, like, we haven't heard from God in ages. And God sent them the gift of his son. So I'm going to ask Mark to pray for those people who are hurting and struggling and feel like they don't matter. And also pray for Chris and for Bree.
Father, thank you for your son. We know that he is the only reason we celebrate this season. He's the only reason for this season. And Lord, even though there are many that struggle during this time of the year, we ask that you bring your peace and your joy and your hope and your love that only you can bring, and fill each of them, each of us, with that joy and that peace and that love and that hope. Lord, we just ask that you would help us to be your instruments that plays a beautiful symphony. And Lord, we pray for Bree and for Chris, especially right now, Lord, as they're going through this time, this season in life, this transition time. And we just ask that you would be with Chris's mom and that as she transitions and graduates to her new home, that you would just bring peace and comfort to the family, that you would let her go with a smile, knowing where she's going. And Lord, we thank you for Bree and her testimony, in her life. We thank you for the growth that we have seen in her and the difference that you have made in her. Lord, because we know that we serve a God who loves us, who cares about us, and who invests in us. So we just thank you for all of that. And we ask, Lord, that you would just help all of us to remember this is the time of joy. And joy comes when you come. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.